Hi, and welcome to Coffee with Claire. Today we are going to talk about mission statements. Now, do you have a personal or professional mission statement that you follow, or do you even know what a mission statement is? In improv, our mission statement is our 10 rules of improvisational comedy. And in business, it's usually a clearly stated statement that allows everyone to understand where you're going. And the important thing about having a mission statement is that no matter what level of competency somebody comes into your organization, everyone knows where they're going. Everyone sees clearly where you're headed. And so when you have a mission statement along with core values, then everyone kind of marches in order. And it's up to you as a leader to provide that mission statement. That's what people are wanting from you. They want to know what your plan is, where you're going, how are you going to get there, and how do we behave as we're working towards that goal. Now, a lot of times, leadership means that you have to make some unpopular kinds of decisions. And so as a leader, as a strong leader, you have to be able to make those decisions and hold true. But sometimes that's uncomfortable, and people are thinking, well, you know, it might be just easier to let this one slide. But once you do that one time, then it starts kind of disintegrating that strength that you had in your mission statement or you know, the loyalty that you had built around that mission statement. And so what I encourage you to do is to make sure that you're very clear. You share your mission with everyone that's involved, and then your actions are congruent with the statement. So your homework for this week is, if you're in a business, to review your mission statement, see what it looks like, and see if it needs to be tweaked. If you're at home, you can have a mission statement for your family. Let us know how your mission statement is coming around on our Cool Beans section of coffeewithclaire.tv. And I look forward to seeing your mission statements. As you know, each show we have entrepreneurs, people who give back to the community, and people who like to have fun. And today I'd like to welcome Lon Ricker. Lon is the Chief Development Officer at the American Fallen Soldiers Project. And before coming to the American Fallen Soldiers Project, you've done a lot of work in the telecom industry and about 20 years there, and then you were I know you were with the Suitmobile, but before that, or after that, you were also with Frisco...
Frisco Family Services.
Frisco Family Services. Correct. So before we get into the American Fallen Soldiers Project, tell everybody a little bit about how you made the decision, or maybe the decision was made for you, I don't know, to get out of the corporate world and go into a world that is a lot more about giving back to the community.
Well, and it really kind of was made for me. I spent 20 years, as you said, with my background in electronics and computer science in the corporate world and a lot of startup companies in software development and test. And I just burned out. And the company I was working for, they were getting bought out. And I had the opportunity to request a severance. And I went camping. I didn't know
you
what
went
I was
camping.
Getting. I went camping.
Okay.
My dog and I and my motorcycles, and didn't really know what I was going to do, but I started volunteering at the Soupmobile, a mobile soup kitchen here in Dallas.
So you started out there as a volunteer before you actually got paid.
I was stirring spaghetti on Wednesdays.
Okay.
And it was great. And just God led me more and more to get more and more involved. And like I say, I had no clue what I was going to do work-wise, but... Mm-hmm. Pretty soon they started asking me to do more, and I started running events.
Okay.
And the next thing I knew, I was the development director, helping grow the mission.
So I've volunteered with Tango Tab and made sandwiches, and we donated the sandwiches to the Soupmobile, and I've actually been at the location. It is amazing how you utilize every single inch of space there.
And that's nonprofits, right? We've got to do as much as we can with what we have available, and it's usually not a lot.
So then you went from there to Frisco.
Yes.
And you were there a couple of years. And then how did you find out about this current endeavor?
Well, I actually, when I was at the Soupmobile, I had met Phil Taylor, the artist of the American Fallen Soldiers Project. And I had experienced a couple of the portrait presentations and loved what they were doing, really, you know, was passionate about it. But there wasn't the opportunity for me there, and probably I wasn't ready.
Okay.
In June, they opened the National Gallery, and that's when I was approached to maybe come on board and help them grow the mission, grow the reach of the American Fallen Soldiers Project. So after a number of meetings and sit-downs and just kind of talking, again, God's timing, they had a need now, and I had now some experience that I could bring to them. And so it's the perfect time for me to be there and help them with their mission.
Well, educate our viewers about what the mission is and what specifically you all do for the community.
Okay. Well, so for 9 years now, Phil and Lisa have been painting portraits of fallen soldiers, those that have been killed in action. And we present those portraits to the families. And we may present them at a small, intimate setting, at a home with close friends and family, all the way up to stadiums with 25,000 people.
Wow.
So, yes. And so, and it's, you know, it's an opportunity to honor the family, but also to remind America of the sacrifices that are being made and be able to show people that we care and that we're not going to forget.
And so what is the difference between these portraits that you all provide versus some other artists' renditions of the photographs, because you take them from a photograph, right?
Right.
And so describe how that works and let us know a little bit about
the
differentiator.
Well, so Phil will take a number of pictures to look at them. We also get bios of the soldiers, and he really learns about the soldier and who they were.
Yeah.
And so he's not just duplicating a picture. He's actually painting a portrait and bringing it to life. And we'll hear so often, the families especially will say that, you know, the eyes, you can see the soul. Or that little smirk on his face, he always had that. So Phil really captures that. So he's bringing them to life through that portrait.
Wow.
So, and it's hand painted. There are artists out there that will use digital, you know, they'll take a face and they'll put it on a body of a soldier or things and some nice work and everything. But this is really bringing the portrait, bringing the soldier to life.
Now, is it painting or is it a combination of writing utensils as well as painting?
No, he uses acrylic paint. It's all painting. And it's amazing. Now, he's not one that you're going to sit there and watch. Usually his door is closed, but I have been in the studio a time or two when he's in there painting away, and he'll paint and he'll decide that, nope, that's not it. He'll cover it and he'll start over. It's got to be perfect in his eyes. So when the family sees that, they're like, that's them. And there's no doubt about it.
So when the families get the portraits, are they recommended to you guys to have the portrait made, or do they fill out an application, or how does that work?
So the families have requested that a portrait has been done of their daughter, son, mom, dad, brother, sister. So they put in a request, they fill out a bio, let us know who the person is, how they were killed in action, and they will send us pictures. And then we will reach out to them to get more information and to start that interaction. As I said, the presentations are done quite often at events. So while Phil is painting the portrait, Lisa is reaching out to the family and she's coordinating the event. We fly the families in, we put them up. We, in addition to the original portrait, we also will provide reproductions for all the rest of the immediate family.
Oh, wow.
And this is all, these are all gifts to the family. There is no charge to them, so we'll bring them to the events. And they actually don't know which picture Phil has selected for the portrait.
Oh, so it's a real unveiling.
So at the unveiling, they
amazing.
Have no clue what they're going to see. So besides, you know, he'll take the picture, but he'll take a collaboration of pictures to bring through that and unveil it. And as I said, then the immediate family will also get various sizes, depending on their needs, reproductions of the portraits as well.
So you said that they're not charged for these portraits. It's got to cost a lot of money to put this event together and fly them in, and even Phil's time of putting the portrait, you know, getting it out of his head, right. out of his heart, really.
Exactly.
You know, and onto the canvas. So how are you guys funded?
Well, we are a 501c3. Okay. We are a nonprofit. And so we are supported by corporations or individuals or groups that believe in what we do, that want to be a part of that and help us out that way.
And your location is in Addison, Texas. How can individuals, you know, maybe they don't have a big company that can help out, but how can an individual like me come in and help out with your movement?
Oh, excellent. Well, there are a number of ways. Obviously, on our website, AmericanFallenSoldiers.com,
okay.
they can make donations there. But so we just, as I said, we've opened the gallery, and we're still building out a lot. We're open to the public Monday through Friday, but we are building a walk of honor in front of the gallery.
Oh, cool.
So there are 8x8 paver stones that will be placed out there.
Yep. Okay.
And so they will be inscribed. So if people want to be a permanent part of the gallery, whether they want to do it in honor of someone, in memory of someone, or just as their family recognizing the service that men and women are making for the country, they could sponsor a brick.
You know, this work is so important because we've got to make sure that we're remembering the sacrifices that are made on a daily basis by everyone that's involved. You know, mom has to say goodbye to her son and not get to see him for however long, 2 years or so, and, mm-hmm. you know, misses out on all those special occasions. Or, you know, a mom goes to war and her kids are growing up without her being there, you know.
Right.
And, you know, you never know if this time that I say goodbye to you is going to be the last time I ever see you. You know, so being able to bring something like that basically back to life for them, I think is just an amazing, amazing heartfelt effort that, you know, I really hope that all of you guys check out. So the gallery is here in Addison, and it's open to the public. You also allow people to rent the venue for special events and things like that too, or are you getting to that point?
Well, and it's not an event space. We don't do any rental if somebody wants to make a donation. But for
okay.
example, groups have come in and wanted to have, for example, a company came in last week, and to recognize all of their veterans, they invited their veterans that morning to come to the gallery, and they had pastries and coffee and things, and they actually had a little event, if you will, but it was recognizing and thanking their veterans for the service that they had done for the country. They presented each of them with a challenge coin from the company, and then they introduced Phil and Lisa, and we told them about the gallery, and then we spent a good part of the morning with them walking around. Again, they were veterans, so some of them, you know, may have known some of the people that we've painted.
Oh, wow.
But they also could see that we were going to, exactly what you talked about, we were honoring the sacrifices that they made and that their families made by serving. And so they got to go around and read the bios with all the portraits. We have bios. We have things on loans from the family that are displays to bring those to life. And the feedback that we got from the veterans and from the company both was, this was one of the best events that they had had because they could have gone to lunch and sat down and eaten lunch,
yeah.
talked to the person next to them,
right.
and then all gone back to work.
Sure.
Where this was, they were interacting, people were walking around, people started telling stories of when they had served.
Wow.
And things that they had gone through. So that's the type of event, if you want to say an event, that we want to do, is where it's complementary to what we're doing and honoring. And it's raising that awareness and inspiring people and educating people of what's going on.
And what a great way to keep people really understanding who they're working with, you know, to get to know them at a much different level, I think is really a real strong way to build a team, because they get where you're coming from, you know. If you know, you have a trigger, you know,
right.
it's probably good to know about it.
Sure.
So you can respect it,
right.
you know, not
right.
change it, but just respect it and know that it's there. So what's the best way for our viewers to get in touch with you or get in touch with your organization?
Okay.
How can we find you?
You know, really the website, which is AmericanFallenSoldiers.com.
Okay.
And all of our contact information is there. And that's a great way they can reach out through that. Our phone number is on there as well. As I said, the gallery is open Monday to Friday, 10 to 5. We have a Facebook page, so for those that aren't here in the North Texas area, they can visit that and follow us, and we post pictures of not only the groups and the portraits, and you know, it's great. We have a lot of veterans that come through and visit the gallery, so we get to connect them with other people and things, so that's really a good way to be involved if you're not local.
And yeah, just because you're not, you know, you're out of state or out of country, it doesn't mean that you can't support these guys. And there's a lot of things. Well, you said that you go and travel all the time anyway, so they might be able to catch one of your events that's, you know, closer to where they are.
And we do have an events page which tells where we're going to do presentations.
So we can find you
if they're open to the public. Exactly, exactly. We definitely want to be found and love the opportunity for people to support us to be part of those presentations.
Awesome. Well, Lon, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Claire. I really appreciate it. And thank you for what you're doing with bringing people on the show to help raise the awareness of what people are doing, but how others can get involved as well. Thank you very much.
You bet. In this series, we'll be learning about laughter yoga and the benefits of deep belly laughter that simulates the deep breathing when practicing yoga. It was developed in 1995 by Dr. Madan Kataria, a medical doctor in Dubai, India. Dr. Kataria discovered many modern scientific studies that described at length the proven benefits of laughter on the human mind and body.
Ha, 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 ho.
What laughter yoga is, it's all about bringing laughter to your body to help you breathe like yoga poses do. And so deep breathing has a lot of benefits, all right? Number one, of course, it gives us more oxygen in all of our cells. Number two, it releases endorphins. Does everyone know what endorphins are? What are endorphins? They make you feel good. And there's also a lot of psychological benefits of laughter yoga because it allows you to release any kind of stress, which is really helpful in our really busy lifestyles. As you know, everybody's got a million and one things going on. And so it's kind of nice just to get out of your head and into your heart. Laughter yoga is a unique concept where anyone can laugh for no reason without relying on humor, jokes, or comedy.
Deep breath in.
The concept of laughter yoga is based on scientific fact that the body cannot differentiate between fake and real laughter if done with willingness. One gets the same psychological and physiological benefits. The reason we call it laughter yoga is because it combines laughter exercises with yoga breathing. This brings more oxygen to the body and the brain, which makes you feel more energized and healthy. We initiate laughter as an exercise in a group, but with eye contact and childlike playfulness, it soon turns into real, contagious laughter. So as you know, in the percolator section this time, we are working on laughter yoga techniques. And so Lon is going to do a little bit of laughter yoga demonstration with me today. Now remember that we fake the laughter till we make the laughter. And so the idea behind this is that if you laugh from your diaphragm for about 10 to 15 minutes, it actually is a great strong workout. In fact, 1 minute of laughter yoga is like 10 minutes on an exercise bike as far as the endorphin release. And so it's really cool when I go into retirement communities and I work with people that are wheelchair bound, because they can actually get that same feeling that we get on an exercise bike or on a treadmill or something like that. And that's a feeling that they haven't had in years, all right? So what we do is we pretend we're laughing until we actually start laughing in real life. And the reason we do this is because we want to push all of the old air from our diaphragm out, okay? Because otherwise we just keep breathing very shallowly and we have a lot of stale air that stays in us. And you know what? If we all had 100% oxygenated cells, there wouldn't be any cancer, because cancer can't live in an oxygenated cell. So there's a lot of really great benefits to laughter yoga. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a little bit of a pantomime. And so we're going to get a big bowl of hot soup, all right?
All right.
So what does your bowl of soup look like, Lon?
Oh, it's got noodles and chicken and
oh, wow. That
all
sounds
kinds of
good.
Stuff in it.
Okay, so we've got, now you've got a pretty big bowl.
Well, I'm hungry.
Okay, all right. Now, are you going to use your bowl to sip, or are you going to use a spoon?
Well, I start with a spoon.
You start with a spoon.
My mom taught me, but then I'll be working up, and she's not looking.
When you're in company, you'll do that, but otherwise, your face is in your bowl. Okay, I gotcha. All right, so we've got our bowl here. You're going to use your spoon, right?
Okay.
Oh, look, I just got my bowl.
Yes.
Okay. Luckily, it bounced and it did its spill.
Well done, well done.
So we're going to take our spoon, and when we dip it in, this is really hot.
Okay.
This is like piping hot.
Right.
All right? But instead of it burning our tongue, we are going to make eye contact, and we are going to laugh hysterically, okay?
Eye contact with the soup or each other?
Eye contact with each other. Let's not make it messy.
Okay.
So let's take our spoon, and we've got a little bit of a soup on here, and it's really hot, remember?
Right.
So when we put it in our mouth, we're not going to scream, we're going to laugh, right?
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Got it, I'm ready.
One, two, three.
That was good.
How do you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah?
I feel good.
Where do you feel energy?
Kind of all over. Kind of feel it come up.
Isn't it amazing?
That's good.
And it really does work your stomach muscles and things like that. So, well, thank you for demonstrating with us today, Lon.
My pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Claire. Bye.
Bye. So my first question is, we're all so busy. How do you balance fun with responsibility at work?
I try to have a good balance between, you know, family first and business second, but drive a thin line between having a professional life to support your personal life. So however you can wage that, I guess, is kind of the healthy balance anyway. So don't put too much into one or the other.
So what are some of the fun things or aspects about owning your own business?
It's very fulfilling, very stressful, but at the same token, it's very nice to be able to provide a service for someone that sometimes don't even know that they need it, and be able to lend that helping hand in a time of need, if someone, you know, needs a little pick-me-up kind of thing. So,
So how do you encourage others in their life to have fun?
You only live once, and you got to find something to enjoy and be passionate about, and try to remind people that, you know, don't take life too seriously because you only get to do it once. So,
what advice could you give someone that might be struggling right now as to how to keep it fun?
I would say probably do your best to find the glass half full. Life is never going to be easy, and I think it's what you make of it. I think everybody has their fair share of adversity, and it's kind of how you handle it, I think, is the most important part. If it was easy, we'd all be doing it. So I think any situation has its good points and its bad points, and if you can find the good points, I think that's a very good starting point for finding some other good that maybe you might have been blinded by and being kind of on the negative side of things. So,
So tell us a little bit about your business.
I work for a company called Janssen Adjusters International, and we are the world's largest firm of public insurance adjusters. And so what that means is, in short, if you have to file an insurance claim on your home or business, the insurance company is going to send out their representatives, and a public adjuster is a hired representative for the policyholder. So for the home or business owner that's never filed an insurance claim before, not only is it scary, but sometimes there's a lot of unknowns and you're kind of worried, you know, take a misstep. We can take those steps for you.
So if you had a happy dance or a happy stance, what would that look like?
Man, I don't know. I hope it's a good one. But you want me to make one? Yeah. A happy dance?
Or stance.
I don't know, maybe a Captain America kind of thing, you know? One of those.
So your homework for this week is to write down your personal or professional mission statement. And it's important to actually write it down, not type it on a computer, because when you write something paper to pencil, then it actually is a kinesthetic motion that embeds it more strongly into your brain. So write it out and share it with us on our Cool Beans blog site at coffeewithclaire.tv. And remember to follow the fun. See you next time.